And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. Can we just rejoice that God is with us? Amen. Golly. I am not alone. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for former things have passed away. Then he said, who sat on the throne, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write these words are true and faithful. And he said, It is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give a fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. Man, that's good. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Let's pray. Lord, I'm asking you just to be with us, Lord. God, I'm praying that you will make all things new today. Give us new hope. Give us new joy. Give us a newness of life. And Lord, I pray that your glory will be here, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I don't know if you've noticed, but we have a little bit of different decor today. When you walked up to the church building, you had to walk through a bunch of junkers, a bunch of broken down, wore out, no good, used up cars, parts all over the place. All of them are damaged. Everything you see is damaged. Everybody say damaged. Because of that, I want you to know, I want you to think back. I was thinking back on that older car out there. You know, of course, that 300, I used to think that was cool. I thought I could really preach if I had that Chrysler 300. And every one of those cars were once brand new. Every one of those cars were fashioned and crafted and made into something beautiful. Every one of those cars had hope tied to them, had excitement tied to them. Every one of those you see out there, when they first came in, man, they were perfect. They ran perfect. It was awesome. It was excitement. The person that bought it, I'm sure, had a smile. My son Isaac just got his college car, his new car. And man, he's had that just horrible looking grin all week. You know, just grinning all big and you know, I got my, because he has, I mean, he's excited. He's hopeful of where I'm going to let him take that car. He's excited about where he's going. Everybody come see my car. Yeah. He's not wearing in his truck before. He didn't care what he was like when he got into it. Now he changes clothes before he gets in his car. Because he's got this excitement, this hope, this, man, this is my car. It's going to take me places. I'm going to have excitement in this car. It's going to take him to the places I let him take it, but. And then something happens. The cars we look at and the pieces we look at around here, there ain't no hope in them. In fact, unless you really know what you're doing, you walk by those cars and said, like most insurance companies, it costs more to fix it. So let's just junk it. I'm going to say that one more time because we're going to revisit that statement. It costs more to fix it. It just costs too much. It's too much. It's too much time and effort and money. That one's too broken. That one, you know, those cars, they're too much. What happened to them? Because one fact we know that all these vehicles can't fix themselves, right? They can't fix themselves. They're laid up in junk piles all around the world and they just can't fix themselves. How did they get there? Well, they crashed into other cars. Some of them. Some of them crashed into other cars. You ever been in a car wreck? It ain't fun. Some of them crashed into other things. I remember one of the worst days of my life was January 16th, 1982, when my mother made the horrible mistake, horrible, totally her fault. She let me and my friends take her new Christmas present out. She got a car for Christmas. She should have never let me take that out. I mean, it's 2 weeks old. And I promptly was going 100 miles an hour or so down Liberty Road and flipped it off McGee's Creek Bridge. Sank it all. I mean, 2 weeks old. That ain't made the first payment on it. The only thing that saved me from dying an early death was it was so bad my dad went, he started crying and he hugged me. And I knew, I mean, we had to swim for it. Water was cold. It was terrible. And guess what? They had to get divers to get it out. Didn't salvage that one. It's probably still packed up at Fleming's auto thing up there. Crushed. Some of them are from abuse and neglect. Cars just get abused. They get neglected. I remember I got a friend that when we were a teenager, we stayed out all night trying to coon hunt or something like that. And he had to be at work and he was driving his daddy's truck in to town and we were coming off muddy roads. So he had it in first gear. And when he hit the pavement on 43 out in Henleyfield, he forgot he had it in first gear. And he just went about 75 miles an hour in first gear. And when he hit the red light up there by Claiborne Hill, the car just died. Shut down. And we had to call his dad. And that was another bad day. Abuse. Neglect. They get wore out. They're not built to last forever. And then they get stuck alone in a junkyard and all they can see is brokenness. Please hear what I'm saying. They start hanging around other broken people, other broken cars, and all they can see is brokenness. You know, that's a great picture of people. Man, have you ever, one of the things you'll find out, it breaks my heart, I weep over it all the time. When we put these pictures, there will be people that will bring a picture of their sister or their daughter. And it'll be a young picture of them in a dancing outfit or smiling all, and they'll put in a little note, now she's 5 years trapped in drug addiction. When babies are born, man, there's such hope. There's such, you know, innocence. There's such belief. There's such excitement. The hope that we have. And then all of a sudden, we do just like those cars out there. We have run-ins with other broken people. Sometimes the damage to us is caused by our own bad choices. We run into things. The abuse, the misuse, the wear, the tear, the neglect. Some of you are, and some people are neglected. Not, they didn't get abused, but they never got told the words they need to hear. They never got, he said, I've had 60 and 70 year old men that the Lord told me to go and tell them, man, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you. The Lord says He's proud of you. And they just break down and weep because their whole life, they wanted to hear their father say that. And they walked broken their whole life. Around other broken people. We were born with such hope, and then life takes over. We're sick of this life. We get tired. We get trapped in a life we're not happy in. Just like these cars. And just like these cars, everybody look at me. You can't fix yourself. No matter how hard you try, you just can't fix yourself. They're not going to be fixed. You can't fix yourself. So what do? Where's this guy I know? Jesus showed up on the scene. Not only was He Jesus, He was called Master. Master. The Master Craftsman. He was there. He was there when God picked dirt up out of the ground and formed it and breathed the breath of life. Jesus Christ was there. Now I want you to understand about Jesus. Back when they started talking about Jesus and really giving prophecies about Jesus, it was, they didn't have Facebook. Thank God. I really want to jump on a Facebook moment right now, but I'm just going to let it go and move on. They didn't have television. They didn't have anything back in that day. They had crying babies, though. It's awesome. You can let that look. If it was a boy, I'd tell you to get out, but little girls, I let them do anything they want. Everybody look at me. Can you imagine what it was like to know you were broken? And then all of a sudden, you heard a rumor? Because that's how things spread back in that day. Most of them didn't read. They didn't have paper and books and all that. Most of them didn't read. So all they got was what other people told them. Can you imagine what it was like when you're around broken people and they can't fix themselves and you know you can't, and you hear somebody said, you know, I heard about this prophet Isaiah, and he said somebody's coming. It was just a whisper. He said somebody's coming like this one in Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because He has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. He had to proclaim liberty to the captives and opening of prison doors to those who are bound. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Are you hearing me? To comfort all who mourn. To console those who mourn in Zion. Look at this. Man, hear this. For those of you who are struggling with depression. For those of you who are struggling with the weight of this world that we have created that we cannot live in. Modern man has created a world we can't survive in. We're killing ourselves. And all of a sudden you hear this whisper. There's one who's coming that's going to give you beauty for ashes. The oil of joy for mourning. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. That they may be called trees of righteousness. It was just, can you imagine hearing that for the first time? Knowing there was no salvation other than I got to go sacrifice at Jerusalem. Can you imagine hearing that going, there's somebody going to do that? Look at the next one. Then they started hearing more from Isaiah. A bruised reed. Can you imagine? Listen, women, I know that I don't want to get in political stuff, okay? I know there's a big political move for women to take over. I understand that. Okay, and yeah, y'all were held down, okay? That's as far as I want to go about that, But the women back in that day weren't even allowed to speak. And if a man divorced you, you were an outcast. He wasn't. You were. Can you imagine the hope that flooded a woman's soul when he heard the words, a bruised reed he will not break. A smoldering wick he won't put out. Can you imagine the lightning? I mean, it had to sound almost like a fairy tale. Like a dream. Really? When the whole world is doing something else, I'm full of broken, angry people. Look at the next one. Isaiah began to say, surely he has borne our grief and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. Why? Look at it. This is what Jesus does. He says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. We go astray. We're all like sheep that go astray. We turn everyone to his own way. But the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Everybody look at me. The brokenness of us all was laid upon him. Can you imagine the story that the master was coming? There was a master that was going to come that was going to make all things new. See, Mother, I make all things new. He took every brokenness. He took every sin. And He didn't do it like, He didn't make it new like they thought He would. He took every sin of every person, every brokenness upon Himself. And then He turned around and offered to us to fix us, to give us His righteousness, His goodness, His peace, His joy, His unbruised soul, His mind. He took, by taking our brokenness, 2 Corinthians 5:21 says this, "For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God." He took our scars. Romans 8, 37, 39. Look at this verse. Look at this verse. "Yet in all things we were more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded, I am confident, I am convinced, I'm not going to argue anymore, that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things to present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus." The man that wrote that killed men and women and children, had men stoned to death, arrested, thrown in jail. And some of you think you're too broken? Some of you think you're too far gone? This man writes that he killed men, women, and children, and he stoned them, and he hurt them, and he put them in jail, and yet he's standing declaring, "Nothing can separate me from the love of God." Amen. See, Mother, I'm making all things new. Romans 5:8 says this, "But God demonstrated His own love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." He took our brokenness. He took our scars. He took our hopelessness. He took our death. And He showed up and started giving examples of what He was doing. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Think with me for just a second. Can you imagine being a leper in that day? There's no doctors. There's no hospitals. When you're a leper, you're just cast out. You're gone. Can you imagine the joy and the hope and everything when that leper was touched by Jesus and healed? How thankful. How much does God have to deliver you from for you to weep over His feet, anoint His feet, and wipe them with your hair? And I mean, how, in front of people. See, some of you are embarrassed to lift your hands. I mean, this lady was so broken and so despised and so hopeless that she didn't care who was watching. She was going to wipe the Master's feet with her hair and didn't care about anybody else. How broken do you have to be for that? And the feet were dirty. They didn't have shoes. They didn't have concrete. It was all dirt and sandals. And yet, she was so broken and now was made whole. She could not stand it. The lady that had the issue of blood, for 12 years, she had been trying. And one touch from the master craftsman. One touch. Can you imagine? I mean, I tried to put myself Some of you are struggling with things and all that. Can you imagine what flooded her soul that for 12 years of brokenness, one moment with Jesus and it was all gone? Wow. He says, I came to fix that which was broken. I've been, as I've told y'all, a couple years ago, I discovered YouTube. Don't look at them. They're doing something for me. They're not mad at what I just said. I just thought, oh, they got up and walked out. Somebody must be mad. Everybody look at me. I'm fixing to play the fiddle and do a river dance. No. No. I'd throw out a hip if I tried to do that, buddy. There was a story on YouTube. I've been watching those auctioneers. Have you ever seen and heard a real auctioneer? I can't understand a word they're saying until they say, so! Hey, that's what it sounds like to me. And then go, so! I mean, it's amazing. There was an auctioneer. It was toward the end of the night. And he picked up. He was just getting down to the last few items. And he picked up this old violin. It was dusty. It was cracked and broken like this one. And it was... strings were kind of hanging around. He blew it. And he said, who'll give me $5 for this violin? And pause. And the man raised his hand and said, I'll give you $5. He said, who'll give me $10 for this violin? Lady chimed in. I'll give you $7.50. He said, come on, guys. Just for a conversation piece hanging on your wall, it's got to be worth $10. And it was a silence. All of a sudden, this old man walked up. Like that. Todd, I'm sorry. I didn't know that came off. We didn't need that piece anyway, did we? Yeah. Back to $5. And the old man and people started talking because people didn't walk up toward the front at auction. People started, he walked up to the auctioneer and he grabbed the violin. And the auctioneer kept on trying to get $10 out. He started tightening up. He dusted off. He tightened up the strings. And he played, grabbed the bow. And he played an incredible, beautiful rendition of Amazing Grace. And the crowd was stunned. An auctioneer grabbed the violin and he said, who'll give me $1,000 for this? And everybody started freaking out, going, whoa, whoa. What's the difference? Just a minute ago, you were trying to get $10. And he said, I'll tell you the difference. It was the touch of the Master's hand. What is the difference? Pause up there when you get up there. Just pause like that man flipped it on. Pause and then flip it on. The Bible says, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He has to be alive, or either none of it's true. And I know he's alive. You know how I know? You know, I still know that he's alive. It's I still see the touch of the Master's hand. I still see broken people being healed. I still see hopeless people being made new. I still see marriages being restored. I still see people being set free from all the garbage that that the crashes of life have done. See, Mama, I'm making all things new. Amen. Awesome. One of the I know Christ is alive because I know what he did to me. I was a selfish person trapped in sin. I was a selfish man trapped in sin. And now, God has made me a lover of people. My wife won't let me have money coming to church because she says I give it all away. Give me the money because you're going to give it away and it's awesome. It was the touch of the Master's hand. And the great thing about it, He is the master craftsman. He can restore anybody. Anybody. I know it's Easter, and I know some of you are worried about Easter egg hunts and all the rest of it. But I want you to know, He still says, see, I make all things new. I take broken hearts and I make them new. I take hopeless people and I give them innocence again. I take abused and neglected people and I put them in a family. See, I am making all things new. I want you to bow your head for just a second. Nobody looking around. If you are not saved, I want to invite you to give your heart to Christ. He'll make you a new man. But if you're broken and bruised, and you've lost your hope and your joy in life, if just the heaviness of pain has overwhelmed you, maybe you're trapped in a graveyard of unforgiveness. Maybe you're trapped in an addiction. Maybe you're trapped in feeling neglected. I don't know my dad. I want to tell you, He makes all things new. He's not afraid of your brokenness because He is the master craftsman. He can restore anybody. Right now, you're carrying that weight of all those things I talked about. And you're carrying that this morning. I want to pray for you. I'm just going to ask you, if you're just worn out and you've lost your joy or you feel broken, people have drained you and hurt you and you can't seem to get past it, I want you just to stand right where you are. We're going to pray for you. I just can't seem to get past. I need the touch of the Master's hand today. Before we move on, anybody else? Nobody's supposed to be looking around. You just, if you're not standing, just close your eyes and be praying. Anybody else? If you're sitting down, I want you to just be praying. Okay? Just be praying. Just keep your eyes closed. If you're standing up, I want you to look at me. If you're standing up, I want you to look at me. I want to tell you a couple of things. Jesus is not afraid of your brokenness. Jesus is not afraid of your sin and your destruction and your bruised heart. Jesus will give you beauty for ashes. But you got to turn it all over to Him. You got to decide, Lord, I'm giving you. I'm going to do it your way. I'm going to give it to you and not try to fix it myself. Because I want you to look at me. Hear this. You can't fix you and you certainly can't fix them. Are you hearing what I just said? Only God can do that. So, right now, I want you to just hold your hand out like you're going to give Him something. I want you to just tell the Lord, God, I give You, and You name it, whatever it is, my unforgiveness, I'm afraid, Lord. Just give it to Him right now. Say, God, I give You my brokenness. I give You my hopelessness. Jesus, I give You what I can't fix. Just talk to Him. God, I can't do it anymore without You. I can't muster up any more strength. I need You, Lord. Now let me pray for you. Holy Spirit, I pray that the dancing hand of God will just dance around this room and touch and move. God, I pray right now that You will heal the brokenhearted. I pray You'll restore hope again. God, restore their laughter and their smile. God, deliver them from sin. Some of you are breaking yourself because of sin. God, let them forgive. God, I pray for peace. God, I pray for joy again. God, I ask You right now, Holy Spirit, just come and restore innocence of believing again. God, only you can heal a bruised reed. Just touch them right now, Lord. Just fall on them, Holy Spirit. Just tell the Lord, if you're standing, just tell the Lord, God, my life is Yours. All of my life. Just tell Him that. My life is Yours. All of my life. All of it. I want everybody to rise to your feet.